Those are very good references. Thank you. Yep. Anything else on the bronze or the acacia wood? Or anything else on the appearance? What do you notice about it in its appearance in any of those regards? Composition or how it appears? Well, in the appearance, I'd like to just highlight something in the first verse. This is the first detail that God gives about this altar after the acacia wood. It says, here's how big it's going to be, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. We just run right past that without thinking. I'd like to highlight how big that is. This was a humongous piece of furniture. 5 cubits, 7.5 feet at a minimum. Some people even suggest larger than that, depending on how many inches they assign to a cubit. So any one of us, I don't think anybody here is 7.5 feet tall, right? Any one of us would be lying down on the floor, and the altar would be far larger than any one of us. This was a really, really large piece of furniture, a large object. Why?
Sacrifice animals?
Yeah, yeah. And what would be sacrificed? Like, what are some of the examples, some of the animals that would be sacrificed?
Bulls.
Yeah. So these bulls, sheep, especially the bulls, right? The bulls would be, you had to have an altar large enough to contain the sacrifice of even a bull. So what's the lesson there? Why? What could we make as an application or a thought for ourselves? Maybe even kind of in a devotional sense, thinking about this altar, as the furniture does, having a link with the Lord Jesus. It's a big altar. So what is that going to tell us about his work? And somebody can give us a verse maybe to add on to their thoughts. Or just a thought, and somebody else can give a verse. I'm a very patient man, so we'll see who speaks first.
Big altar for a big work.
Go ahead, say that again.
A big altar
for a big work. Go ahead. Yeah, let's go down that road a little bit. A big altar for a big work. Let's support that with some scriptures. Well, I'll start us off with Romans chapter 7, just a phrase here. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7 and verse 13. I'm just looking at a phrase at the end of the verse, that sin might become exceedingly sinful. I'm just kind of lifting that phrase out. Now, this is Paul describing what the law did in him, in his conscience, when he realized that the law had been given and he was breaking the law. And he says, it was given so that I would realize that in my own heart, how exceedingly sinful sin is. And I'd like to maybe link this with what was said so far, that how big was the work? How big was the need? The need required a great sacrifice. Sin is exceedingly sinful. Sin is so bad that it would require such an altar of such a size as this. But then we could say, and I'll let you develop this, that Christ is the great Savior, right? He is sufficient to accept the biggest sacrifice, to be, as we would say also, the sacrifices also represent him. But he responds, he is sent by the Father to respond to this terrible problem of sin. And we could say maybe none of us realizes how terrible the problem of sin was. But God provides one that is more than sufficient. The size of this altar is remarkably large, so that the greatness of the sacrifice would more than answer to the greatness of the need. I'll pause and let some others fill in there.
large size, also the material that it was, that the wood was overlaid, it would be so that it could endure the intensity of what was going to take place on this altar. The largeness, you know, points to the sacrifice that would be on that altar, but also the fact that the material would have to be able to endure the constant flame, the constant fire that was going to be under the altar. And it's interesting when you look at it, you know, you have the square, then you have this grate in the middle, and you read through, you know, the whole revelation that God gives about how it was to be used. It was to be continual. Mm-hmm. You know, this fire was never to go out. And so the enduring character of the material sort of brings before us the enduring work that the Lord Jesus Christ did when he came under the hand of God's judgment.
I think there's also an aspect of, and I'm not sure we're likely going to get to it, so I don't want to get ahead of where you were planning on taking us. But in Leviticus chapter 1, it speaks of what the altar was used for, right? The burnt offerings, the grain offerings. And I think in reading that passage, we'll get an understanding of its purpose and significance. So if we turn to Leviticus chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, "The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he is to offer a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He is to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and then Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides at the entrance to the tent of meeting." And so there's this aspect of the person's personal sins, him paying them or atoning for them here, in contrast to what was done on the Day of Atonement in the Holy of Holies, which was done one day a year, where the high priest would go in and secure atonement for not only for himself, but for the corporately, the broader children of Israel. We talked previously around the connection of the blood being sprinkled in the Holy of Holies and what that speaks of Christ's ultimate, final sacrifice on the cross. But there's an aspect of the work of salvation that we see through the bronze altar, and that each individual comes and brings their own personal atonement, which speaks, I think, to the individual unsaved person who comes to the Lord.
Yeah, very nice. And there are many references to these offerings, like you said. If we kept on reading in Leviticus, as you probably have done yourselves, you find offerings for sin. The burnt offering is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. There are offerings for sin that are not sweet-smelling aromas to God, but they also are going to be placed on that altar of burnt offering. And so in all the different ways that we look at the sacrificial work of Christ, the offering of an animal, this is the first time that we've seen the shedding of blood in reference to the altar, except that it probably was brought in, some blood would be brought to the ark on the Day of Atonement. But the actual shedding of blood took place here at this altar. And so we see the sacrificial work of Christ here at this altar. In the reference that Craig read, it emphasized something that was mentioned on the slides too.